Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I'm joined with my wonderful host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. And today we will be talking about dating in a godly way. I am so excited about this topic, Michelle. But before we get started, I know you have a few announcements to share.
I do.
About some other things that are going on, too.
I do. If you're watching live, you've got the seminar, Women's Seminar, coming up September 23rd and 24th. Fabulous seminar. So much wonderful planning and preparation is going into it. The title is Restored, The Years That the Locust Have Eaten.
Wow.
Friday night is a play, Abigail, directed by Carolyn Peters, with a message by Pastor Schaller that night.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss that.
I won't. I will be there.
Saturday, we hear from Pivy Jansen, a former missionary and mom and beautiful wife.
Yeah.
We love her life, love watching her life. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Wanda Clemens. The cost for the seminar is only $25 for the weekend. There's lunch on Saturday. It's Greek food. It's so good.
Ooh.
Yeah, gluten-free for you GF girls. So that's
delicious.
$20, so $45 altogether.
Nice.
And dun-da-da-da, after a year and a half,
yay,
our book, To Everything There Is a Season, is finally ready. Did I just shove that right up your nose in the camera? Sorry if I did.
It's beautiful.
All right. We have been working on this, like I said, for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We call it a discipleship journal. It's written by women from five different continents.
Oh, wow.
Do you believe that?
Okay.
And they're going through all the a time for in Ecclesiastes 3.
Wow.
There's 28 chapters. Each chapter has a beautiful devotional, Bible study questions, and writing space.
Wow.
You could use this for your own devotional time. Buy two books. Use it with somebody that you'd like to connect with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have lunch once a week or a Zoom call once a week with somebody. Or lead a group. We have a group here on Tuesday mornings that is using this book. It's 138 pages.
Wow.
Hey, Christmas is coming. It would make a great Christmas gift.
Yes.
It's on sale at the seminar for $15.
That's awesome. I love resources that can be done in a group or with people one-on-one because you can just go deeper and deeper in the discussion. So thank you so much, Michelle. And thank you for everything you do to make sure we remain built up as women. And I'm really excited to hear from you about this topic as well, because I do think that dating is already a very sensitive topic. And it's a very sensitive pursuit for people because it involves a great deal of vulnerability.
Sure.
And a person is purposely putting themselves in front of another person, indirectly asking them the question, is what I'm offering valuable to you?
Wow.
And that's a really big question.
It's good.
And of course, the world has turned this into something very different. But, you know, even within the church, we can put an added pressure on the relationship if we don't first understand our value to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that's very integral before we have someone added.
I love that you're
life.
Starting the discussion out with this. Thank you.
I think it's really important because our loyalty and our leading in any relationship should be a response to God, you know, first and foremost. And we're first here on the earth to be used by Him. And growing in that knowledge takes time and pursuit of a real relationship with Him that's active and is able to stand alone or with a partner in your life is very, very important.
Incredible. Our topic for today is, what are your intentions?
Mm-hmm.
And let's define intentions. It's the plan. It's the end goal, the destination, the intended result, the purpose.
Yes.
So what's the purpose of Christian dating?
Mm.
Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not fool ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's marriage. The desire to be married is not only very real, but very good and biblical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you desire a husband, you desire a good thing. That's not what the scripture says, but in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good,
yes,
thing,
a good thing
and obtains favor of the Lord.
Now, I really like this, but I feel like there's probably some people that are listening and saying, see, this is my problem about dating within the church. If you're asking me right now in year two of Bible college, if I'm ready to get married, then I'm going to kind of stay away from dating. Even if I have an attraction to someone or I want to pursue getting to know someone more, I do feel a sense of pressure because of course, I want our relationship to have the potential to turn into marriage. But sometimes focusing on the potential rather than, well, I hope you know if you're about to go ask her out right now, the next question should be, so how many kids do you want? You know, like that's the kind of pressure we can feel.
Sure.
So I'd love for you to speak a little bit more about how these godly intentions speak more about, are you thinking in a godly way towards the pursuit of more time with this person in terms of your thought life towards this person when they're not around? And I love what you had mentioned yesterday when we checked in with each other. Are you okay with the fact that as God is leading you to this person, this could be a learning experience for you to take into your marriage, maybe with another person in the future? Sure. It doesn't necessarily have to be this person.
Sure. Every dating relationship ends in one of two ways. Mm-hmm. You either get married or you break up.
Yep. That's, I mean, it's the truth.
How many people have married the first person you kissed in junior high?
I surely did not.
Yeah, no, not many.
But ironically, his name was Justin. And my husband's name is Justin. So, you know.
Well, no one starts dating hoping that they're going to break up. All right. So the primary and practical purpose of Christian dating has to be determining whether the two of you should get married. Mm. And I like to tell girls in the Bible college, especially first year students, oh, my gosh, relax. Mm-hmm. Let's get to know the body. Let's get to know everyone in the Bible college. Mm-hmm. I tell girls, your girlfriends, you should spend time developing godly friendships with girlfriends.
Yes.
Now, one girl had a fit when I told her years ago, you will spend more time with your girlfriends than you will with your husband after marriage. And she checked with, she didn't believe me, she checked with several friends and they all agreed.
Wow.
That our time with our husbands, because our husband does a very down and dirty thing right after the honeymoon. He goes to work, ladies. He goes to work. He's gone all day.
Yes.
All right.
And that's part of him fulfilling his call. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't, it's not an alert when all of a sudden you're experiencing what it's like to not have your husband around you 24/7. You know, people have that phrase, you know, oh, honeymoon's over.
Yeah.
You know, but I even think there are layers to that. There can still be this atmosphere of, I love you. I support you. Mm. I would do anything for you. But also part of us maturing in Christ is understanding when it's appropriate to let someone go. Also, as well, you know, let them have their own life. Remember that their life is now unified with ours. So just because we're not in physical contact with one another, or I'm not hearing every moment how much you love me, it doesn't mean that you don't. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't have something for me while you're, as my husband, accomplishing what he has for you.
Sure. Let's define the purpose of marriage. Now, TV and movies lie to
us.
Do
not model these things.
Lie through their teeth when they tell you that the purpose of marriage is sex. Ask any long-term married Christian couple that you admire, what is the purpose of marriage? They will not say sex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. Sex is wonderful and it's exciting.
Yes.
But there's 168 hours in a week. How many of those hours are spent as a married couple having sex? All right. Mm. Like if you have sex for an hour a day, a complete hour.
A day?
A day. Yes.
Wow.
A day.
Okay.
God bless you, number one. Woohoo. We're jealous. But that's still those 7 hours out of 168 hours. That's less than 5% of your time. Mm. What are you going to do the other 95% of your time? You probably spend more time gathering, washing, drying, folding, and putting away laundry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you single girls are weeping right now.
But you know what? That's why I think the thought life towards this is so important, Michelle, because dating is the foundation for the kind of atmosphere that you're going to be setting up in your marital relationship and in your home.
Yes.
And it's very important to understand that this is an addition to your life that God is blessing you with, but it's not meant to become the complete center of your life.
No.
God did not save you so that all you would focus on is spending time with your husband. What does your husband need? Where is my husband? When is he coming home? What is my husband's favorite color? What can I do to make sure he knows that he feels loved today? I mean, there's not supposed to be this obsessive attitude. You can be loving and supportive and you can be so close. My husband and I are best friends.
Yes.
But our weeks are completely different. It's just the reality based on what we have decided together. And I really like thinking about how we have to remember that as God is leading us, we have to make ongoing choices about whether or not we're going to be submissive to Him first. I mean, I know we don't like the S word sometimes as women because we think submissive means that we can't think for ourselves, we can't make decisions, and we're just supposed to be obedient and have no opinion. But it's quite the opposite. If you think about submission to God, that's when you experience the most freedom, because then you're saying, okay, God, I'm your vessel. Use me for whatever you'd like as I'm discovering what that means. You don't know. When you're in Bible college, you cannot see 10 years down the line with your husband and your family. And you know what? Thank God. I think you might be mortified. You might be mortified. Oh my gosh, what do I look like? Is that three kids running around? I had three kids, Lord. You know, we're not prepared to see what God sees, but He can prepare our hearts through the dating process.
I love it. Well, the grand prize in marriage is Christ-centered intimacy.
Yes.
This person you get naked with. You know, completely. They know everything about you and they still like you.
Yes.
Not only like you, they love you. They've got your back. You can bring any issue to them. They will pray for you. They will give you counsel, support. Mm-hmm. They will help get you off the crazy cycle. Remember we talked about that in that marriage book? It was Pastor Eggleston.
Yeah. Dr. Emmerich Eggleston, Love and Respect.
A fabulous book. But before I married Ron, oh, I had my eye on Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome, probably with about 25 other women. But God said to me, no, no, he's not for you. He'll never understand you. And I said to God, who cares? Do you look? Just look at him.
Oh, that was the flesh.
Oh, yes, I know.
That was the flesh.
I know now. But you know what? When you're single, we had a picture directory of our church. I wore that thing out looking for
Michelle,
a husband in there.
You sound like you're in seventh grade right now.
Well, yeah, it was, you know. Hey,
but see, that's the thing about it, is why we have to make sure that we are in submission to God, because that's what we do in the natural.
Sure.
Like, when we're in the flesh, we crazy.
Yeah.
We are so crazy and we don't see it. Like, that's the scary thing. We're like, no, I am in love with this person and they're in love with me. They just don't know it yet. So I got to help them recognize this. I'm doing my job. This is actually my call for this season of my life. Like, we can spiritualize so much.
We can.
You know, but the Bible talks about how, you know, in the natural, we actually have a hostility towards God. We don't want the things of God. And that's why we have to keep going through the filter of the cross as we even look at the person.
Sure.
You know, we were talking yesterday about how men and women battle different things. And even as we're trying to understand each other, you know, men have a tremendous struggle sometimes because they're trying to take something that was originally so pure that the world has totally added junk to. And we're trying to look at our sisters and our brothers in Christ through the eyes of God, which can be very difficult when we are just renewed in a Bible college class. And then as we're driving home, we see a billboard that shows us everything, you know?
Sure.
And that's a very real issue for a lot of us, you know, having that line between how the world is dating and how God wants us to pursue each other.
Sure. You know, I tell girls, don't pick out your own husband. You can pick out your purse, your shoes. We were asked to address the question, why do your intentions matter when pursuing and beginning a dating relationship? Well, somebody here on Facebook brought up the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And that book had a tone as though I'm just too spiritual to even date.
Yep.
Well, there's something now called faux Christian dating. Young Christians have no idea what to do with dating. And then based on this book, they avoid it completely. They don't think it's spiritual. And instead of dating, they hang out. And hanging out can lead to all kinds of mixed feelings.
Yes.
Does he like me? Is she flirting? What does this text mean? Why did he sit next to me in church? Why didn't he sit next to me in church? Does she want my sweatshirt because she's cold, or does she like me? Sometimes hanging out leads to hooking up. This is your guard is down because you're not being purposeful and intentional.
Yes.
Well, if the great prize in marriage is Christ-centered intimacy, the great prize in dating that we're aiming for is Christ-centered clarity.
Yes.
If you want Christ-centered intimacy, yay, you have to get married.
Yes.
Okay, you want to have sex? This is so easy. You want to drive a car? You have to have a license.
Right.
Right? You want to go to work, you have to have all your papers in order. Fill out the W-2 form, you know. But if you want to have sex, this is so easy. Just get married.
Yep.
But we need to pursue clarity.
Yes.
About who we're going to marry.
Yes. And, you know, I want to speak on that just a little bit as somebody who had my first Christian dating relationship in a secular college. And sex was not something that was mentioned behind the pulpit. It just was not. It was, it's kind of seen in a lot of churches as a taboo subject. We just kind of keep that quiet. But, you know, for me, it created a hiding place so that if I was going to sin with the man that I was dating, I knew I didn't have to worry about any sense of accountability in the church.
Because you didn't have any definition.
Yes. Nobody would say, hey, you know, I know your walk with Christ is new. I see you hanging out with this guy a lot. Mm-hmm. We know him, but we're still getting to know you. And one thing leads to another because you are a human being. And a lot of feelings that God is saying, no, I want those feelings there. But the way that you are stimulating them and evoking them before the time that mm-hmm. I want you to act on them, that's mm-hmm. the problem. And so I think we just grow up hearing no sex, no sex. The church says no sex. And instead, it would really help. It would have helped me tremendously for somebody to sit down with me and say, let's talk about why the value in being that intimate with somebody is so valuable to mm-hmm. God mm-hmm. and how once you open that door, you are robbing yourself of a peace and a freedom and a harmony that you could have had with your husband.
And
nobody
also,
defined it like that for me.
Thank you. Excuse me for interrupting.
Oh, it's fine.
Also, a great testimony. You know, my yeah. husband and I can tell our grandkids we did not have sex before we got married.
Right.
Now they don't want to hear it.
They're right.
Cringing at the whole idea of grandma
kind of like,
and grandpa.
Let's not go there. Yeah.
But you know what? We have a testimony that God kept us.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and there were times he wanted to, and I was like, oh, no, buddy.
Yeah.
And there were times I desperately wanted to, and he was like, no, you're out of your mind. We're not doing that. God gave us the balance in our relationship from the get-go.
Yes. And you know, that's an important aspect of trusting who you date. Will she say no to me? Will he say no to me? Because everyone has these weak moments. You know, you come off of something where you guys just had a great time. You know, you're built up or you finally resolved an argument and now you guys feel even closer. Now it's nightfall. Can I take you home? You know, I just want to talk to you a little bit more. I mean, a lot of these things you don't realize they're kind of a road leading somewhere else.
Yes.
And we have to be very guarded and be willing to say to each other, look, I love you, but I love God more.
Yes.
I don't know if you're going to be around permanently. If I really mean that much to you, then you will go to him about whatever you're mm-hmm. undergoing, about mm-hmm. waiting. It's not like I'm not in that with you. I mean, even though I'm a woman and I see things different and I feel different ways, of course I have a sexual attraction to you. But that's not for us to be discussing and resolving with each other. That is a complete, God, can I talk to you conversation. Maybe can I talk to you about this 8 times a day because here she comes again and yep. I'm still struggling.
Yep.
And find somebody that you trust, whose marriage you admire, whose unity in the marriage you admire, and develop a relationship with them where you feel like you could at least broach the subject. I know everyone's not comfortable talking about it, but I'm just speaking to all the older saints in the church. You know, when you look at us young people and you say, oh, you know, they're here in church, they're living for God. We're going through other stuff, too.
Sure.
So for you to make yourself available in private just for us to, you know, vent, ask questions, you know, we'll keep it confidential. But keep your eye on us because there's more going on than us talking about scriptures.
Sure.
It's just the truth.
Sure. We've also been asked to address the question, what should be the motives and intentions of a godly relationship? Mm. Well, you won't find any examples of modern dating in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Even the famous love story of Ruth and Boaz was orchestrated by Naomi, mm-hmm. Ruth's mother-in-law, and approved by the local elders. Mm. We're not advocating arranged marriages, sight unseen.
Oh, okay.
But there's a lot of wisdom in trusting the advice of mentors, friends, and family who
yes.
know us well.
Yes.
And if we reflect honestly on our middle school crushes, you know, we weren't always the best matchmakers for ourselves. There is one woman in the Bible who was wildly successful, and we can learn a few things from her about dating. Mm. In John 4, the woman at the well. She had 5 husbands and was shacking up. I guess they don't say that anymore. She was living with her 6th. Mm. Oh, this girl could date. She mm-hmm. could attract men.
Mm-hmm.
What was the secret of her success? Sex.
Right.
Sex.
Right.
I mean, she was such a great cook. Nobody who's a great cook has five husbands.
Right, right.
You know,
yep.
It wasn't that she was beautiful, because it was just one thing.
Mm.
She went through guy after guy after guy mm-hmm. because she was giving out sex like it was a free sample.
Mm.
Samson's heart was captured by Delilah mm. for the same mm. reason, mm. sex.
Mm.
Ladies, do you want to marry someone knowing that's how you got him?
Right. You know, you think about this, like, think about the moment past your flesh going crazy and you saying, like, no, I have to give in. I have to give. That's the only way I'll quiet my flesh. I have to give in. You know, that's the lie that Satan tells you.
Thank you.
But when you think down the line, you know, there's going to be moments where you all are just sitting together. Maybe you'll be in your home on the mission field, watching your kids play together. Talk about a heartbreaking moment when it's another reflection for you to say, you know what? This could have been a different moment, but now I have regret. Now I have sorrow, because I did have the capability with Christ to walk away from a situation that was drawing me,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that goes back to what we were originally speaking about your own value.
Mm.
I guarantee this woman did not feel that she had great value.
No.
So she used what she knew would keep someone with her as much as possible,
yep.
even though it was probably a huge emotional roller coaster for her.
Unbelievable.
There was no sense of fulfillment.
Sure.
But she had a way that she was using a tool that she knew she had,
yep.
you know, and this is what a lot of us do. You know, I just don't want to be alone. I don't want to deal with that issue. I need to distract myself. I need somebody validating me all the time, all the time. And that's what the voice of God wants to be in your heart. And you can only have that if you are purposely in fellowship with Him actively.
So good.
Actively, you know.
So good. In Proverbs 9, verses 13 through 18, the foolish woman calls to young men.
Mm-hmm.
She's clamorous.
Mm.
That means loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then again in Proverbs 7, 5 through 27, the strange woman uses flattery, clothing of a harlot. She's also loud, stubborn, impudent. She caught this young man and kissed him right on the street.
Wow.
With much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Proverbs 7:21. And how do you guys end up if you're playing this game,
right.
guy after guy after guy,
yep.
or girl after girl after girl?
Yep.
In Proverbs 7:27, her house is on the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
Wow.
Maybe not immediate physical death, but look at the families you're ruining.
Yeah.
You know,
and you have a ministry to other people that you may not even know are watching your life, you know, and it can be very saddening for them to say, you know, maybe that will be the person that I can talk to a little bit, because I'm a little uncomfortable maybe talking to my mom, or, you know, talking to an older sibling. Maybe I can ask this person if they'll go to a woman in the church with me. I'm a little bit nervous. And then they hear or see that the way that you're behaving is really no better than what's going on in their own mind.
Sure.
You know, and I really appreciate the type of intimacy that God only allows when we do things in His order, because there's just a certain element of the heart, I think, that becomes very numb, you know, and that is a space that is meant to be filled with so much more intimacy. But because you are doing something in a way that God is grieved by, you cannot have the full enjoyment of it. I mean, you want to try to, you want to say, no, I want this physical fulfillment to be enough, but you have a conscience. You know, you've given your heart to God. Those are things that He has purposely planted in you because He wants them connected with Him. And in this book, actually, I want to reference, this is an older book. I love the old books.
Yeah.
This is called Famous Couples of the Bible by Richard L. Strauss. And he says of Adam and Eve, the very first couple that we see an example of, he says, they lived side by side, labored in perfect harmony, sharing a sense of mutual interdependence, enjoying a freedom of communion and communication, possessing a deep flowing affection that bound their spirits to each other. They were inseparable.
Incredible.
That is definitely not something that you can build if you are beginning in sin.
True.
It's just not. And we're not even just talking about sexual sin. We're talking about maybe you lifted this person up in prayer to God, and God clearly is not leading you there, mm-hmm. and you're going anyway. And you're, no, God will take care of it. You know, there's mercy, there's redemption. You know, we spiritualize everything. But then we end up kind of getting ruined. And then now we have trust issues for the next guy, because that first guy is not going to stay. God already told you not to do that. You know, so by the time we get to our husbands, we can just be this emotionally battered person. Mm-hmm. And we already had other things we were working through before we even got in a relationship. So now we're adding to the mess because we don't believe God's order enough to restrict ourselves, to inconvenience ourselves, you know, but it is well worth it. As you have said, Michelle, because you want that honeymoon night to be, I got here because I followed the Lord as hard as it was. He is okay with all of this. So we can be free.
So good.
You know, and that's a special moment that you really don't want to rob yourself of.
Really? Have you opened your Christmas presents before Christmas morning and then had to pretend you were surprised on Christmas morning after you carefully taped them all back up? Mm. You know, don't ruin things for yourself. Yeah. And you're saying, well, dating's going to be boring if we take sex off the table. No, there's a lot of other things you can do.
Yeah.
And there are some surprising benefits to you personally mm-hmm. about godly dating. Mm-hmm. Number one, you grow in holiness.
Yes. Yes.
Now, come on. Who doesn't want to grow closer to the Lord? Mm-hmm. All right. Human beings, like we just said, Adam and Eve, created for relationship. Mm. And it's in the context of connecting and then clashing yes. with this person we're dating
right.
that God makes us aware of our own sin. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Not every couple makes it to the altar. Mm-hmm. Think, ladies, think. If you have sex with the guy you're dating and you're both in the same church and then you break up, you want to see him every Sunday?
I know, right?
Ooh, yeah. Let's just not even go there just to save ourselves that day.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get invited to his girlfriend's bridal shower.
I know.
You know?
It's just like a ever-going list of, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why did yeah. I give in? Why? And again, we're not speaking against the human nature. Like, God designed us to want to involve ourselves in sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. God's issue is not the act. It's the time and the foundation.
Yes.
That is yes. God's concern. The time and the foundation. And the person we give our time, attention, and commitment to is a very important choice
sure.
each time.
Sure.
The biggest question shouldn't be about physical attraction or popularity, but rather, does this person propel me forward in Christ?
Oh, incredible. Yes.
That is a very important question. Can we have a ministry to each other? Are we even thinking about that? Do we have these kinds of conversations when we're not on the Bible college campus? Is it like this understood thing that, oh, you know, when we're around everybody, we're accountable, you know, mention some Bible, you know, talk about your favorite worship song. I'm saying this, Michelle, because I did it. I was able to get away with it, and I regretted it later, you know, because I was so new in my faith, and I genuinely loved God, but I didn't have anybody kind of navigating me. I did have a warning from a friend, and I addressed her about it years ago, and I was actually angry with her. I said, you could see this whole situation developing in front of you. Mm. Why didn't you, like, get in front of me and, you know, completely block me from this? I mean, this was a horrible experience in many ways for me. And she told me, she said, you know, when you see what's going on with somebody, you're kind of trying to evaluate, is their heart really interested in hearing what I have to say? Mm-hmm. And if it's not, there is nothing that you can do. And yeah. I could see, Jasmine, you wouldn't have listened to me.
Yeah.
You were not in a place where you could receive from me.
You know, I've seen my husband and I, my sons, we've seen couples getting too close, friends of theirs, friends of my boys. You know, there was this one guy that always wanted to take girls out to breakfast alone. I'll pick you up early, spend the whole day. And we were speaking into their lives saying, no, mm-hmm. no, this is not appropriate. Be with the body. Mm-hmm. Come have breakfast in the cafe. You know, be with us.
Yeah.
Neither of them are our friends today.
That's okay.
But you know what?
You don't stay friends with everybody.
We felt led to speak into their lives.
Yes.
You know?
And it's important. I think that you were probably thoroughly blessed as well as you watched that situation and your sons continue to grow. you know what? Jesus was never apologetic when he made it clear what God's standards were for holiness.
Yes.
And what God was not okay with.
So good.
He was not concerned about sentimentality and preserving feelings. He was concerned with the truth. And that's a boldness that I think we have to take into any dating yep. relationship.
Yep. So what does being obedient to the Lord while dating get you? Well, discipline
mm-hmm.
and setting boundaries.
Yes.
You know, with this person,
mm-hmm.
showing compassion
mm-hmm.
and forgiveness mm-hmm. to this person,
mm-hmm.
enduring separation.
Yes.
With perseverance. My favorite love story is Elizabeth Elliot, Passion and Purity.
Mm-hmm.
Should be the number three book after the Bible that everyone reads. Especially because she talks about how much they were separated.
Yeah.
And she said she never could have endured losing him when mm-hmm. he was martyred if she hadn't already had so much steel in her backbone
wow.
from what they went through as dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, practicing patience while you're waiting for that boy to propose.
Oh, my gosh. I have heard so many things about this topic. Which is why I do think it's important, and I would love to hear from you more about this, Michelle, too. You know, sometimes it can be very conflicting for a young man to put himself out there in front of a young woman because there is a lot of expectation on him. I mean, a lot, you know. And you know what? I do think there is a reasonable amount of time before somebody asks you to be their wife that he needs to be kind of getting his house in order.
Yeah.
Let me talk to this person that I trust who's already married. They've watched this process. Let me run this by them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take time and pray about this person. Let me allow us to be separate for a while and make sure I do still feel the same way.
It's a good advice.
How have we handled conflicts together? Have we ever gotten in a fight? I mean, certain things that are very important that you need to be taking the time to be. You know, you can say, I am consulting God in a different way now that we're getting more serious.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's completely okay. Now, consulting God for 10 years as you are mm-hmm. making the decision, I don't think that's okay. I don't think God necessarily thinks that's okay. You know, we're trying to pursue God with the goal of gaining that clarity.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't have this, you know, voice down from heaven or this, you know, peace in your heart that a lot of people speak of, that doesn't mean that you have to make a decision right now anyway. If you're uncertain, let it be uncertain for a while. Maybe God is testing mm-hmm. you.
And we can't tell you how long you should date.
Right.
I won't even tell you how long my husband and I dated, but it's more than 5 years.
Was it 10?
No,
oh, okay.
But it was more than five, and we're wonderful single people, but we could not function as a couple, and we dated for a ridiculously long time, going back and forth, up and down, here and there,
mm-hmm.
and it was God's plan for us.
Yes.
And we were committed to each other. We were, but you know what? God has a path for you.
Yes.
And we are thankful.
Yes.
Because when we did get married, we were so close.
Mm.
And we were of such one mind.
Wow.
Dating allows you to show affection without compromising your standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can you do? Send a text, send a card,
you
communicate.
Can go all out on the birthdays.
Through Christmas. The other languages of love,
yeah.
just not touch. All right.
Yeah, right, right.
And you're displaying the gospel
mm-hmm.
through your relationship for other people who are watching.
Right.
You know, number two, you also learn to love.
Yes.
You really yes. do. The selfless, sacrificial love.
Yes.
And have fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Ladies, you know, before you even have coffee, don't be evaluating whether he can raise the three children you want to have.
Oh, Lord.
You know, let's relax. Someone asks you for coffee. Go out with
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
You don't even want to go to Panera's or Starbucks. Go to church and have coffee there.
Yeah.
In the body. Why are you saying no?
Right.
To these guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think sometimes we can just overthink it. And
oh,
it
yeah.
becomes a lot of self-consultation. And we're
yes.
like, no, I just don't think that God. No, it's really you. Like, change it from God to you every time there's a blank. Because maybe you're nervous or you want it to be something and you're putting too much pressure on it. Or I remember overhearing somebody spoken about at the first church I ever went to in Michigan after I got saved. And the pastor's son was, you know, he was a nice looking guy. you know, he was our age, but I never saw him like around any female. That's, you know, that's kind of how you always find out. It's this indirect, like, I notice every time he's here, she's here too, or around here, but I didn't see that happening. And I heard someone say, yeah, he's a nice guy, but his standards are ridiculous. I don't know if there is a woman who could meet this man's standards. And that's why he's not with anyone yet.
Well, let's talk about the difference between a conviction and a preference. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you should have some basic convictions that, number one, you don't date an unbeliever.
Right.
You can be friends.
Right.
You know, you can draw him into the church, you know, hey, come to the young adults, mm-hmm. come to this, come to that. But don't commit yourself to be alone with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, but preferences, does he have to be taller than you? Does he have to be of the same race as you? Can he have a child? You know, if you're if you see this great guy who's divorced or widowed, or yes, it happens, they had a child out of wedlock, they didn't get married, but he's connected to that child, that could speak of someone's maturity.
Yep.
You know, rather than being he's got a child. No, I'm not.
Right.
No,
right.
It could be. And guys, don't be looking for a girl to just cook and clean for you or take care of said child.
Yes, don't.
No, just please. Because said child will grow up.
Yes.
And it's got to be, you've got to be crazy madly in love with this person. Yeah. We don't marry Mr. Okay.
Yeah.
Or Miss Good. And I had someone text me, you know, the guy I'm dating, he's okay. He's better than all the, no.
Yeah, if you're trying to convince yourself, no. Like, you know,
stop.
Don't talk yourself into it. And you know what? I appreciate this about a lot of guys. And I learned this through befriending guys and being able to like have more profound conversations with them. You do not have to evaluate whether or not a man likes you. He knows when he likes you. You don't have to convince him. You don't have to lure him. I know somebody who said, you know, I love the way some women can capture their men. You know, they're just friends for a while. They're the one that's always there in the background as they're going through things. And then they end up marrying them because that's the face they've seen over time. But it's a strategy that they used. And I was like, I don't know about that. That sounds kind of like, I don't know if that's holy.
That's very strange. You know, you use dating as a way to magnify God's glory or as a way to reject his commands.
Yes.
There's only one marriage problem. It's called selfishness. There's only one dating problem. It's called lust.
Yes.
You know, do you have to get married? Then already you're in trouble.
Right. Right.
You know,
too much dependence on that, you know,
and
you can love it. You can want it and desire it.
Yes.
But you should not be worshiping it.
Yeah. And don't say the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
You can't know when God has this man or this woman for you.
Yeah, and God is never in a hurry. That is totally us. Like, what is he doing? I'm actually dwelling in total peace over here. It's you that's having the tantrum.
Yep.
If you just trust my timing, we'll be fine.
Remember, Satan is going to do everything he can to get a young dating couple in bed before they get married, and everything he can to keep you out of bed after.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And that just speaks of how precious that is, because when you get on another kind of crazy cycle of now we have involved ourselves way beyond what we're ready for. It's just, it's not fun anymore. There's shame now where there is supposed to be freedom. There's shame, you know, it's not a worthy exchange at all. But the world will tell you that's what the center point should be. Well, you're missing out. You know, sometimes you get teased or mocked. I could never do. That's why I don't go to church, because if I walked in there with my past, the church would burn down, or, you know, whatever people say, you know. But it's amazing when you really lean on God for the strength and not yourself. God knows you don't have the strength. He designed you, again, to act on this when the time is right.
So good.
You know.
Here's our advice. Don't date recklessly. All right. If you do, dating leads you and others into confusion and heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, watch somebody in a group situation first. What need are you trying to meet? You know, what hole are you trying to fill? Maybe the Lord is going to speak to you through Bible college. get yourself built up. Mm-hmm. Foster a friendship first.
Yes.
Before a romance, because that's what you're going to be living on after you get married.
I can't tell you how many times I have had these responses. And Justin has looked at me and said, I'm trying to talk to you because I need my friend.
Mm.
I need my friend right now, Jasmine. And it's like I go into a totally different mindset, realizing how ridiculous I'm being. And of course, I want to be there for my friend, you know. But I love what you said about selfishness, Michelle, because it can be very easy to look at somebody and start the self-consult of how can they benefit me rather than, you know, could we have a ministry to each other?
Yes.
You know, I've heard some of the things she said. I know some of her friends. I'm interested in knowing more about her, and I don't want to get in the way of what God has for her, even if it means that we end up dating and God doesn't have me in store for her.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to say when you've developed a closeness emotionally with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having your hands on something and also looking to God and saying, God, you know, if I'm supposed to let go, you know, just gently peel my fingers away because
so
this is
good.
Hard for me, you know?
You know, we're not into purity culture or this passivity where you're going to sit behind closed doors, never be with the body, never go out to coffee with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And have this false sense of purity and security because you're less sinful than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for sexual sobriety while you're single, and it shouldn't be motivated by fear.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to condition yourself to think that sex is negative, to be avoided, because then you're going to have to flip some kind of switch on your wedding day, and woohoo, you're ready that night. It's not going to happen.
It will not happen.
It will not happen.
Mm-mm.
And we don't want that for you.
Yeah.
We want you to have a healthy, unselfconscious, guilt-free sex life after marriage. Sex is fun. Sex is wonderful.
Yeah.
So is a lovely burning fire in a fireplace, not in the middle of your kitchen.
Right.
You know, it's got to be kept in the right place where it'll bring joy and light and freedom.
Yeah.
We're not advocating repression. You know, just deny that you feel anything, you know, press it down.
Yeah.
We're advocating that you build resistance and endurance against temptation.
Yes.
All right.
And recognize early on when you might be already saying yes to something and you don't realize it. Like there are some warning signs. If somebody is inviting you, like you had said, let's continue to be alone together. Now, sometimes there's just a circumstance where this one time because of this inconvenience, it is going to be you all being alone for a period of time. But if the person that you're dating is trying to foster that kind of environment all the time, that is definitely a warning sign.
Well, that's a Tamar and Amnon situation
where
she's madly in love with him. She says to him, let's get married. I'm sure our father will be fine if we get married. And he rapes her. In the palace. Yes, it can happen in the palace, in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual purity means freedom from contamination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really advocating this book.
Candon's book.
She and I have been talking holistic purity, sexual health and happiness for the single abstinent woman.
Wow.
We'll have these for sale at the women's seminar.
Yes.
If you like to peruse a book before you buy it, we'll have these at the book table.
That is a wonderful resource. And Candon herself is a wonderful resource. I met her at the Silver Spring Church years ago. Talk about a transparent person on fire for God.
You're going to love that
and
book.
And she is just like, when you're single, you make it count. You and God get close. Think about how else you can be used. And when
so
it comes
good.
To this, have the thoughts of God in your heart.
So good. We're closing up, but our last few words of advice. Don't watch porn. Don't masturbate. That's not only defiling, but misleading.
Mm.
Real, honest, wonderful married sex is nothing like porn.
Mm.
Real, honest, wonderful married sex is nothing like solo sex.
Mm.
You know, you can fulfill yourself much easier and faster and quicker than your partner can. And why? Why are you building a kingdom?
Mm.
You are giving place to the devil. I'm sorry to just be that
blunt. You really are. It's totally based on lust.
And you're building a kingdom that you will have to tear down, a stronghold.
Yes.
Be as attractive as you can.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you're wearing clothes that you could not donate to Goodwill, why are you wearing them? If they're grimy or dirty or they don't fit you, You know, and why are we getting attractive? So that we feel good about ourselves.
Yes.
We dress for ourselves,
yes,
not
I like
to attract
what I'm
some
presenting.
Guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Be confident in Christ. Be emotionally attractive. Mm-hmm. Get rid of bitterness and complaining. Get investing in yourself as though you're never going to get married.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I know it's scary to come to the place and say, well, fine, if I never get married, yeah, what is my life going to be like? It should be fun.
Yeah. And God still took the time to make sure that you were here because he has special things in store. And I want to close with this. In her book, This Isn't the Life I Signed Up For by Donna Parto, she makes a striking statement that's true about life. We make our choices and then our choices make us. So we encourage you today, make the choice for God, remembering that everything about human design is orchestrated by him, but follow his leading, don't forsake his leading, and trust him for everything about your future. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for our next show tomorrow as we continue talking about dating in a godly way.
So
bye, everybody.
Take care.